AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. This hour, Vinny Bonsignor will jump on. Without Andrew Whitworth playing for the Rams, Rodney, I think Jared Goff may have somewhat of a rough night against Tampa on Monday.
Yeah, you don't want to go into the game without your top offensive lineman, especially a veteran guy like that. But, you know, I'm sure that they, you know, will find a way to cover for him and protection schemes and things of that nature. But certainly, you know, Tampa Bay has got a great defensive front, and it's the wrong week to not be at full strength up front.
Okay, so Vinny will be on. We'll talk about that. Raiders in Kansas City. We'll see how many guys are actually playing for the Raiders.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We certainly know they're not practicing.
Right. And how much of an effect will that have?
I don't know. It may have a big effect. You know, hopefully it doesn't for Derek Carr's sake. Speaking of the Raiders, Fred, I was at dinner last night with some friends and ran into Mark Davis, and you know, he was like his dad. He had his Raider gear on. He had his Raider warm ups on. But it was cool. We talked for a minute and was just talking about how things were going in Vegas, and he told me he hadn't been to a game yet, and I thought it interesting because we heard him and we talked about him coming out before the season started, saying if my Raider fans can't go to the game, then if we're not going to have partial crowds, was the number one thing he said. If everybody can't go, then no one's going to go, and that included him. So he said, I'm standing by that. If my fans and the Raider fans can't go to the games, then I'm not going to go to games, and he hadn't been to one. I thought that was pretty good as an owner, a stand-up guy.
You know what's really interesting when you think about Mark Davis? And look, that move to Las Vegas may have saved the franchise for him. Because and you know, you were one of the groups that were actually trying to get a stadium built up there. But when it comes to wealth, you know, you can't feel sorry for anybody that owns an NFL team because they have far more money than any of us will ever see in our lives. But there's also a pecking order of the wealth of the owners. And Mark Davis that's the business. That's the family business.
Yeah.
And, you know, he makes his living from the football team. And the football team, whatever profits it generates, has to go back into operating the football team. He probably needs the money more than anybody. He probably needs fans in that stadium more than anybody in the NFL because he's got nothing else to fall back onto. And he's the one guy that said, if everybody can't go, nobody goes.
Yeah, he is. And you're right. It's the family business. And it's not, you know, we don't know all the details of Mark Davis's other projects, businesses, income, or anything like that. But we do know that the Raiders and football is his primary business, unlike, you know, a lot of the other owners that are out there that have, you know, started other businesses, had other businesses, and then eventually bought a franchise. It's different with them. Al worked his way up through coaching and being a general manager, got little pieces of the team here and there, and then eventually became the majority owner and then handed it down to Mark. So it's certainly hits him harder. You know, his wealth is really more on paper when it comes to, you know, to what the Raiders are evaluated at. And if he sells it, then yeah, he's an extremely wealthy man. But, you know, day to day, they're certainly losing a lot of money, as are a lot of franchises. But for them and for him, I think personally, yeah, it hurts.
You know, if you don't know him, he really is a remarkable guy. I know people, you know, take shots at him with his haircut and things like that.
What do you mean? What's wrong with his haircut?
Well, you know, you got to be honest.
Kevin
about
looked
it.
Like that.
Got to be honest, Rodney.
How much time do you have, Rodney?
Yeah, I mean, but he really is a very good person. And he's one of the few guys, honestly, and I'm sure the fans in Oakland would tell you, and the fans in Vegas will tell you, and players like Rodney will tell you, I can tell you, He's got time for everybody.
Yeah.
He's got time to come up and say hello and tell you stories and answer your questions. He's not, you know, isolated somewhere. He's really one of the people.
Yeah, he is. And he genuinely cares about the players, and he genuinely cares about the fans. I mean, to the point of what I was just talking about, him not going to the games. I mean, he could be, I don't know if there's another owner that hasn't gone to their team's games and been a part of that, or traveled with the team and done that. And it's got to be hard because, you know, the Ray, he bleeds silver and black and wants to be there, but he made a commitment to his fans and he's standing by that. So yeah, he's a stand-up guy, and like you said, he's got time for everyone, and does he gets a bad rap. You know, a lot of times being the son of such an icon like Al Davis, it's hard to live up to that or people to give you that kind of respect. But certainly if you know him, you know he is a good guy.
I'll tell you, this will sum up what kind of guy he is and that his word is his bond. If you remember back when they were trying to decide who was going to move to Inglewood, Rams plus one, or they were going to build that Charger Raider facility in Carson. Remember the back and forth, mm-hmm. and you know how hostile it became? Well, Mark Davis is a good friend of the mayor of Inglewood, James T. Butts. And as they were discussing all of this, and Mark told the mayor, by the way, we're going to try to build this thing in Carson now. And so it was all above board, but they were friends. Mark Davis actually told the mayor that when the vote comes down, because of our friendship, I am voting for the Rams to go to Inglewood because of our friendship. I am not even voting for me to go to Carson. I'm going to vote for the Rams. And he did. He voted against himself because of his friendship with Mayor Butts. I don't know if there's anything else you need to say about the guy to show you what kind of person he is, Rodney.
Right. And he knew he was going to Vegas. That's why.
Well, he didn't exactly know. I don't know if he knew quite at that moment. But you know what else? I think, okay, let me ask you. So when that whole thing was going on and you were involved, you and Ronnie Lott, do you think at that point in time, Mark knew he was going to Vegas?
What point?
When you guys were involved in trying to get a stadium built up there.
No, but it was in the works because it had been in the works for a while, moving a franchise to Vegas. I think in the minds of certain officials within the league and certain owners, that was a prize that they had their eye on for a while, and not everybody knew about it, but I think that was in the works. Yes,
because the other market that had always been mentioned was San Antonio.
Right.
San Antonio should have an NFL team.
That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen, right? Because you have to pay Jerry Jones,
right?
And you'd have to pay the Texans too.
Yep. And the Cowboys were not going to have somebody else in their backyard, especially if it was a iconic franchise like the Raiders. That wasn't going to happen.
All right. So Vinny will be on here at the bottom of the hour. We'll get more into the Raiders, the Rams, the Chargers, and the NFL. Now, Dodger fans, we talked about this in the first segment of the show today. John Paul Morosi is reporting that, you know what, they might kick the tires on Nolan Arenado. You know, the Rockies were considering moving him before the start of the season. He signed a big deal with them, but it's prohibitive for them, and it's a lot of money, and they've got to retool up there. So they wouldn't mind moving him. And the Dodgers might be a suitor. He's from here. I mean, we know what he's done. His splits are great in Colorado, okay elsewhere. But is Nolan Arenado a guy that you would bring in here, understanding you're going to have to pay him now? Not Mookie Betts money, but it's in the vicinity. It's up there. Is that the guy if you're going to, and you've still got to sign Bellinger, and you've still got to sign Seager, and you've still got to sign Buehler, and we know the Dodgers are going to operate under a plan. Everybody's not making all the money in the world. So would Nolan Arenado, Rodney, be a guy?
No.
Yeah.
No. And this is no disrespect to Nolan Arenado. I think he is top five players in the league. I really do. I think he's talent-wise, his attitude-wise, all accounts, he's a great teammate. But for the Dodgers, no. I think for the same reasons a couple years ago when they were throwing it out there with him coming to the Dodgers, that you have Justin Turner that can still play and play at a high level at third base, as we've seen over the last few postseasons. So are you going to pay somebody double or triple what you're paying Justin Turner and get triple the results? I don't know if you can, because Justin Turner's pretty good. And then on top of that, when you have to pay Bellinger, Seager, and Buehler, is it worth it to do that? And to me, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And a couple of years ago, would have been all in. You know, Andy McCullough in the first hour said, how much of a difference can one guy make? Well, the one guy that could make a real difference is now here, Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that I think you go all in for. Because now we have a basis of comparison. You didn't have that before. You had a very good team every year in the conversation. One missing piece. They didn't really need Mookie Betts. Could have been fine, but they figured he was that missing piece. So going forward now, I mean, you have that. You have that line of demarcation where if a guy is the difference maker or a difference maker, and there are not many of them, okay, I get it. If not, I don't think I'd spend.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I get with the sentiment about Mookie Betts because it's very similar to Golden State, right? Because Golden State won a title without Kevin Durant.
Right.
They were right there in the conversation. Now they won one, whereas the Dodgers didn't win. But the Dodgers made it to the World Series.
Right.
Without Mookie Betts. But it was the one guy that's going to get you over the top and give you an opportunity not to just win one, but multiple championships, as did Kevin Durant with Golden State. Did they need Kevin Durant? No. But did he help them win a couple championships? Without a doubt, put them over the top. And I think that's the difference with Mookie Betts. I don't know if there's another player out there that really does that other than maybe Mike Trout that puts you over the top, like, okay, we're already there. Now this one guy just puts us at another level.
All right, Steve in L.A., what do you think?
Well, Fred and Rodney, you two guys are nuts. You guys took your crazy pills. You guys are nuts. Listen, let me lay it out for you, Fred. Fred, are you there?
No, I'm right here. He's nuts.
Okay, Fred. Okay, hold on. You too, right. Rodney. Eight-time Gold Glove.
Okay.
Five-time All-Star.
Right.
29 years old. Plays a premium position at third base. Grew up a Dodger fan, is a gamer, bleeds blue. Are you two guys nuts?
Well, maybe. According to you, we are, Steve. But I would counter with this.
Fred, he's 29 years old.
I understand.
JT is 35. He slips in at the number five slot. Andrew Freeman said they need a right-handed bat.
Right.
It's 270 on the road, 310 in Colorado. He makes up for it with his defense. He bleeds Dodger blue. He's from SoCal. Are you two guys crazy?
No, we're not crazy. Well, maybe we're crazy. Steve, I mean, some have suggested that.
A little bit.
So, you know, we can't hold that against you. Here's what I would say. At the price point, a 270 hitter, I don't think, Steve, he's Mookie Betts. Wait, are we saying you don't want him on a team? No, of course not. Of course not. But he's not Mookie Betts. And that's an awful lot of money. And all I think we're saying is we now know value for value. You now get it, right? It's like Bryce Harper. Would you want Bryce Harper?
Fred.
I understand he's from SoCal. I got all that. Fred. I got all that. You need him for hitting. Nobody's saying Justin Turner is going to be the third baseman, Steve, for the next 20 years. We're not even suggesting that. But I'm saying in a world where you have to pay Seager, you have to pay Bellinger. I don't know. Who would you rather pay, Arenado or Seager? I mean, those are choices that the Dodgers will have to make.
Bellinger doesn't come up to 2024. Walker Buehler doesn't come up to 2025.
Yeah, but that means
they can slow play both those guys, and they pay Seager now. They go to Scott Boras and figure something out, and there's your infield for the next 7 years. Seager and Arenado. You two guys, come on, man.
Right.
And I don't get it. I don't get what you two guys are thinking.
All right. All right, goodbye, Steve. But happy Thanksgiving.
What are you thinking, Fred?
Well, what I'm thinking is this. This is great in the world of fantasy baseball. This is fantastic if Scott Boras says, yeah, you know what, let's just take care of Corey Seager right now. All of that is fine. That's fine if everybody decides to play for $1 million each, too. That's great. We can make all kinds of teams like that.
And we're not saying that Arenado's not a great player. But is he one you go all in on?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the point here? You know, we now know who you go all in on, right? We know that. If you had gone all in on Manny Machado, would he have been the same as Mookie Betts? I would argue no.
No.
Okay? He's an all-in guy. If you'd gone all in on Bryce Harper, fans wanted that. Would he have been the same as Mookie Betts?
No.
I would argue no as well. We now know what that is. So since we know what that is, we have to be mindful of it. Go ahead, Manny.
Fred Rogins, Rodney Pete.
I'm the Dean.
Ronnie Fatio, Kate Big, and VTB. Feeling you. That's the dream team right there. But since we're talking the other dream team, the Dodgers, I'm kind of with the guy who called just now, man. I mean, look, I think you could put together a package of probably like Lux, Caber Ruiz, or even maybe Will Smith. I don't know, you know, and a couple of younger arms. But as long as they're not named May or Gonsolin, I mean, you're going to have to put together quite a package. But, I mean, this guy is transcendent, Fred. You know, I mean, let's be honest. Like the last caller said, it could be a kind of Garvey, Say, Lopes type of set of Russell, you know, infield. I mean, and with Mookie Betts back there, you would have two MVPs, not to mention our other MVP, Bellinger, Seager. I mean, yeah, it's going to take the King's ransom. Don't get me wrong. And like you were saying, it might be a pipe dream of, like, just MLB, what's that called, you know, a fantasy. But, hey, why not, man? You know, the group has the money. They just won. Let's turn this thing into a dynasty, like AM 570, baby.
Appreciate it, Manny. Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Let's go Tim in Arcadia. Tim, what do you think? Hey, all right, we lost Tim. That's too bad.
Oh.
All right,
Timmy. Let's Tim Cates?
Yeah, it was Tim Cates. Calling from Arcadia, disguising his voice. Christian in Walnut, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Fred? What's up, Pete? Just loving the show as always, brother. But I do have something to speak about this, and I say trade for him. The guy's an awesome hitter. The guy can always get it at bat. Never has a doubt with him when it comes to pitchers. Has an awesome ERA. But when it comes to Bally in the last postseasons, last three, it's just been a slump. And I'm a big Bellinger fan. But if you can get rid of Bally, keep Seager, and keep Buehler, oh my God, our number one ace, it'll all be set.
All right, Christian, thanks.
That's all I can say.
No, have a great weekend. Appreciate it. Interesting. There were people that during last year's abbreviated regular season were going, you know what, maybe Bellinger's the guy to move. Let's move him now where we can get something good for him. At that point, the reigning MVP. We'll just trade him. Let's get rid of him too. And then we'll bring somebody else in. You can't trade Bellinger now. You cannot give up on him. You've got to figure out what he's going to be, what his ceiling is, but you can't give up on him. You can't sit here and say, all right, Bellinger's gone, Arenado's in, now we have Seager, we're good to go. It's too, you can't do that, Rodney.
No, why would somebody give up on him? I don't understand. He was the MVP. He's still young, very young. What is he, 24? I don't think he's close to reaching his ceiling. I think he's got so much. We just seen him take it to another level when it comes to defense in this past year. So there's a lot more to him than we've seen so far, and the upside is great. But no, you don't just willy-nilly get rid of Cody
And most
Bellinger.
Importantly, it doesn't cost anything.
Right.
Like, as good as he's already been, he had a down year this year overall, but, I mean, he can still get better. He doesn't cost you nothing for the next 4 years. If you're trading for Nolan Arenado, that's $30 million right there. Just says it's not a smart business move to make.
All right, Matt and Chino, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon, guys. I agree with you two. I don't think you make the trade. You know, like you guys were saying, they're going to ask for the world. The value is just not there. He's 29, so he's got three, four more good years, prime years left. And I think you've just got younger horses in the stable that'll get you there. And I want to touch on some credibility that I should have, because I called the show and I argued with Rodney 2 years ago that the Dodgers didn't need Manny Machado because they had Max Muncy. Look where we're at right now. Boom.
Okay, so this is a credibility check. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. You said 2 years ago that the Dodgers didn't need Manny Machado because they had Max Muncy.
Yep.
Okay.
100%. And last year, identical numbers, except we had Muncy at, what, $25 million less than Machado? It's the same point you were just making, you and Kevin, both about the value point. You don't need to pay Arenado $30 million to play third when you can limp by with JT and bring up somebody else in the next 3 or 4 years that maybe gets you, you know, another young stud who, you know, you don't know where you're going to be and who will be available then. If you really want to make the move, I mean, and Cleveland's going to ask the world for Lindor too, but maybe you slide Seager to third and have Lindor. I'd much rather do something like that. I think Lindor's worth that versus Arenado.
All right, Matt, thanks for the call. And Rodney? He wanted to correct something you said 2 years ago.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
He corrected it or said I was wrong?
He said you were wrong. You should have never wanted Manny Machado 2 years
ago. Was that wanting him when we traded for him or wanted him long-term? Because I don't remember wanting Manny long-term.
No, I don't remember you ever saying that either.
Because there was talk about, you know, do we re-sign Machado? And I don't remember being on that bus.
Yeah, but I think what you did is you sent it out. Bus? I think you sent it out telepathically.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. You know what you used?
I was on the bus when we were trading for him, when we were making that run for the World Series. Yeah, go get, you know, get Manny. Yeah, right. Bring him in here.
Right.
But long term, no. After he stepped on the guy's foot.
Yeah, you were done with him.
I was done.
All right, the Rams going to be done now with Andrew Whitworth out. What's that going to mean for Jared Goff? Vinny Bonsignor will join us next.
3, 2, 1. Grab your phone, because now is your chance to win $1,000. Text the keyword money to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's money to 200-200.
That's right, Rodney Pete. Fred Rogan on a Friday, November 20th. 2020. 11-2020, Fred.
11-2020. Got Thanksgiving next week.
Yeah. Flying.
Yeah.
Can't get over fast enough, though.
Right. Taking forever, but flying. All right. So this is a huge weekend in the NFL. The Raiders have a very big game. The Rams have a very big game. So we're going to bring on a very big man. Our dear friend, Vinny Bonsignor. Vinny, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm just wondering if the Chargers are going to be thankful for finally maybe getting a win over the New York Jets.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Don't speak too soon, Vinny.
Right.
I know, right?
Let's start. All right, let's start with that, Vinny. I mean, the Jets are woeful.
Horrible.
Right. I mean, as Vic would say, they're garbage.
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 Hot garbage.
Hot garbage, exactly.
If the Chargers somehow cannot beat the hot garbage of the Jets, should they concede the rest of the season?
Not only should they concede the rest of the season, but, I mean, I was thinking about this before coming on the show today. At what point now do you really start thinking about, is Anthony Lynn the right coach? I mean, if something like that were to happen, you know, not that any of the losses prior to have been justifiable or understandable. They've given away wins that they should have won. You know, they just haven't been able to get it together. But if they lose to a team like the Jets at home, that's like an egregious type of a thing. So I would wonder if that kind of a loss would hasten anything as it relates to Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, if they were playing on the road, I'd say he might not get off the tarmac.
Right, exactly.
Give him a Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, they lose.
Stay in Newark.
Everybody used to make fun of, you know, Detroit and Cincinnati and Cleveland. I don't know if there's a worse organization than the Jets in all of sports.
I'm completely with you. And, you know, on our radio show, and I've been going back and forth with this with Lincoln Kennedy, you know, and he wants to put his foot, you know, down my throat when I say this. But if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm saying no to the New York Jets. Trade me or I'll sit a year out and come back in the next draft.
Pulling Eli,
exactly, or a, you know, John Elway, and, yeah, and you know, Lincoln is like, you're a rookie, act like a rookie, you know, who are you to call the shots? And I'm like, well, I might be a rookie, but I'm smart enough to realize that that's where quarterbacks go to die with the New York Jets, and it's happened over and over again. It's a horrible organization. The leadership is terrible. Obviously, Adam Gase, he will get fired after the end of this year. But I don't want any part of that. If I'm a young quarterback and a star in the making in Trevor Lawrence, I'm going to say no to that.
All right. Well, let's now get to the Chiefs and the Raiders. And, all right, what do we know about the COVID situation with the Raiders? Are they going to have enough guys?
Yeah, they'll have enough guys. As of this morning, there were no new positive tests, which means that the 8 players that are currently on the contact list, the high-risk contact list, are on target to come back tomorrow and Sunday. So one of them actually did come back. LaMarcus Joyner was back at practice today, and he was in that category. So slowly but surely, they're getting all their guys. The problem is they're going to go into the biggest game of the year without 8 key defensive players not having practiced this week. So it's going to be a challenge. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, on top of the challenge of having to try to sweep the Chiefs after already beating them, you know that the Chiefs have some revenge on their mind, and they want to make a point that they're the best team in the AFC West. So that was always going to be a challenge, but now it's even more so not having a bunch of defensive players practice all week.
And I guess the good thing is you said they get to practice tomorrow, so they're not waking up Sunday morning and going to play. They at least to get a day, and one or two of them got to practice today. And then there's no travel. So it makes it a little bit easier for them because, man, just going into a week versus Kansas City, if I'm Derek Carr, I'm like, what else can happen to me? I'm trying to have a great year, and I keep getting these things thrown at me. I deserve double the money.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because Derek always kind of kids us because he's like, look, I've seen a lot in my 7 years with the Raiders, and you know the guys that go way back with them. The reporters that go way back with them, they've seen some pretty weird things with the Raiders over the years. You know, it's just the way it is. He's like, but none of that comes close to what we're dealing with this year. I mean, they had a whole week where their entire offensive line didn't practice before the Tampa Bay game. So it's just been that kind of a year, you know, for the Raiders, for everybody in the NFL, but in particular the Raiders. So it's just one more thing that they have to deal with. That said, the offense should be in pretty good shape, you know, against the Chiefs. And, you know, looking at what the Chiefs do defensively, they've had troubles all year against the run, and that's what the Raiders really like to do, especially lately. They've run for over 500 yards the last 3 games. So I think that that's an area that the Raiders can exploit. It'll probably be a shootout. The Raiders are bracing for that. But they've already beat them once. There's no question that they could do it again. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be difficult. But what a message the Raiders can send if they could somehow pull this game off, in spite of it all, complete the sweep of the Chiefs and beat them, you know, shorthanded. I think that's a great message for themselves and their own locker room, and to everybody else in the AFC.
I'll tell you, if that happened, if they were able to beat the Chiefs, and you were voting for Coach of the Year on Monday, I think John Gruden might be the Coach of the Year, Vinny.
Yeah, he and Brian Flores, you know, I think are right now they would be the front runners. You know, Cliff Kingsbury from Arizona has done a really nice job. But when you think of everything the Raiders have had to deal with, and let's also not forget, they moved from from Oakland to Las Vegas. Historically, teams generally don't do good in their first year in the new market. Remember what happened with the Rams, yeah, when they moved from St. Louis to L.A. and then the Chargers from San Diego to Los Angeles. It didn't go well. The Raiders are 6-3 in the thick of the playoff hunt. They have the 5th seed right now in the AFC. They've dealt with a whole bunch of injuries, obviously the stuff with COVID-19, and they're sitting pretty right now. And I give a lot of credit to John Gruden, to Tom Cable, their offensive line coach, who's had to patchwork that whole group throughout the season. They've done a really, really good job, and they're set for the future. They're making the right moves, and they're putting themselves in the right position for the long range and the long term future. They're not quite there yet from a roster standpoint, but they're no doubt headed in the right direction.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the Rams and a huge loss with Andrew Whitworth out for Jared Goff. And a lot of people talk about when they talk about Tampa Bay, it's it's Tom Brady, it's Gronk, it's, you know, Antonio Brown, the offense and what they can do. But quite as kept, Tampa Bay's defense, especially their defensive line, are pretty good. This is going to be a tough matchup without one of your best offensive linemen, Vinny.
Yeah, and Andrew Whitworth is one of those guys you never expect him to get hurt because he never gets hurt. You know, to lose him, your left tackle, and I've seen that Tampa Bay defense. They came into Las Vegas and hung one on the Raiders. It's a legit defense. They've got freak athletes all over the field at all three levels. That defensive line is going to be feasting. It's going to be a tough go for Joe Nopum, who's going to start in place of Andrew Whitworth, a good young player, but it's a big challenge, especially going on the road, making a long trip. Then, you know, and I know fans don't want to hear this, but when you're a West Coast team and you have to go back east and just wait forever to play that 8 o'clock, 8:30 slot, it becomes a really, really long day. And not all the West Coast teams are used to that, but that's what the Raiders or the Rams are going to have to deal with on Monday night, waiting for that game to come around against a really good team that's in a fight in the NFC for, you know, in their own division and for the top seed in the NFC. So it's going to be a tough challenge for the Rams, no question about it.
Well, from an offensive standpoint, but defensively, the Rams have been pretty good this year. And now they're going to see Tom Brady. What problems will Brady present for the Ram defense?
Well, number one, he's Tom Brady. He knows what's going on. There's nothing that you're going to show him that he hasn't seen and that he doesn't have an answer for. I think where the Rams can really help themselves is creating pressure on Tom Brady. He's shown some instances this year where you can rattle him and you can get him off of his game a little bit, and it comes down to pressure and making life a little bit difficult. The Rams obviously have the best defensive lineman in the game in Aaron Donald, and he's got help now this year as well with an improved defensive and an improved pass rush. So I would expect that they're going to throw everything they possibly can in terms of creating pressure on Tom Brady, because that's the best way I think that they can slow that thing down. Now, Tampa Bay has also shown the ability to run the ball. Ronald Jones has turned out to be a really good running back out of USC.
USC!
Yes, exactly. And that's something that the Rams can't – you can't overlook the run game trying to go after – Tom Brady, because they'll make you pay in that regard as well. But I really like where the Rams defense is. I think this is a winnable game for them, no question about it, but they have to make life difficult on Tom Brady.
Hey, Vinny, when you look at the landscape of the NFC, do you see a clear-cut favorite right now? I mean, AFC we can look at and say, okay, Pittsburgh is a team, and we can say Kansas City because, you know, they're Kansas City, are kind of the top two, but and then there's some teams that are right behind them in the middle of the pack. But in the NFC, do you see any team that's like taking the lead as the favorite right now?
No, I think it makes the playoffs completely wide open. You're right. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Kansas City Chiefs, that's basically the cream of the crop in the AFC. I don't think there's any question about it. But in the NFC, on any given week, you could make cases for about three or four teams through the course of this season so far where you go, oh, that's the best team. Oh, Tampa Bay is the best team, obviously. Oh, the Rams are now the best team in the NFC. Seattle. But every week it seems to change. And so it makes for a fascinating race, but it also makes for one of those situations where a number of teams can literally say, why not us? Why can't we be the best team in the NFC when it gets right down to it in the playoffs? And I think you just have to get there, obviously. But once the playoffs start, and if the Rams are part of that group, they're going to have as good a chance as anybody to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, because there isn't a clear-cut, number one, flat-out the best team in the NFC.
On the topic of the NFC, are you surprised at all that Sean Payton is going to go with Taysom Hill instead of Jameis Winston at quarterback this week?
A major head scratcher, as far as I'm concerned. Now, you know, in talking to some people around the NFL, one thing that's come up is the guy makes what, $11 million?
Yeah.
Taysom Hill. There's some people above Sean Payton saying, "Hey, we paid this guy a whole lot of money. Maybe it's time to see what we have in him and give him his shot." Or maybe it's just a situation where Sean Payton's like, you know, rather than use the quarterback that would, you know, that kind of fits our offense and everyone knows what our offense is all about, let's throw everybody just a curveball right here and go with the guy that is going to be unpredictable for defenses to deal with. Me personally, I would have gone with Jameis Winston. I'd like to see what Jameis Winston, how he might fit in this offense, because you might need him next year if Drew Brees decides to retire. Why not get a read or a book or a look, a good look at Jameis Winston to decide whether or not he might be somebody that you want to stick with long term, rather than Taysom Hill, who somehow, some way, is in the league making $11 million, and he you know, he can't throw the ball, isn't very accurate when he does. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, I don't know about that, Vinny. There's not a big enough sample size on him, and he's played well. And if you're going to pay him that, you know, at some point you got to figure out if he is going to be your guy, and what better opportunity when, you know, Drew Brees goes down. I mean, we saw last year Teddy Bridgewater comes in and does his thing, and Taysom is a spot player again. At some point, you got to find out, because there's talks that he is the heir apparent to Drew Brees. If he is, you got to find out if the guy can play or not.
And I completely agree with that sentiment. I just don't know if he can play. I mean, have you seen him try to throw? Have you seen him throw the ball? I mean,
I've seen him being good. I've seen him being very effective. And then, you know, of course, I've seen him not be so accurate.
It's more of that than the other.
Oh, you stop it, Vinny. You stop that, Vinny.
when you look at the state of the stats and just watch him play. So I don't know. And you know what? Who knows who lines up at quarterback on Sunday? This might be a whole ruse to throw the opponent off balance and have them thinking one way, and then all of a sudden there's Jameis Winston playing. Because last I heard, anyway, Sean Payton was like, I don't know what. I'm hearing we've named a starting quarterback, but I don't think that we've necessarily, you know, announced a starting quarterback. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on. So we'll see who actually lines up at center for the Saints this week.
All right, Vinny. Thanks for coming on. Have a terrific weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Enjoy the games.
Next hour, Rob Parker will be here. What up? Rob will be here at the bottom of the hour. Okay. When we come back, the daily presentation of a highly coveted sad sack.
I mean, that is just sad.
Sad sack of the day.
Here we go. The always exciting presentation of the sad sack of the day. This is a good one.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting up in your seat.
Yeah.
You know, a little smile on your face, a little perking up.
Why not? I'd like to acknowledge those that deserve it.
Special Friday edition, too. Look at you.
Let's go.
You get even more excited on Fridays when you get to read these.
You know, because they got to carry us all the way through the weekend.
Yeah.
Here we go. Sad sack of the day. The entire Arizona Cardinal offensive line.
All of them.
All of them. They all get it today. Damn, they deserve it.
Equal opportunity sad sacker, Fred.
That's it. Arizona rushed for just 57 yards. Kyler Murray sacked three times in their loss to Seattle. That loss dropped the Cards to 6-4 in the season. They're third in the NFC West. Sad sack of the day is the Arizona Cardinal offensive line. You know what's interesting about that loss last night? And it kind of, Arizona's exciting, but it kind of took them from, in my mind, contender to pretender. When you saw them and you look at their body of work and realize they've had to come from behind an awful lot. If the Rams lose to Tampa, they will be 6-4. But I still think the Rams will have a better opportunity now as this season is playing out than the Cardinals, who will have the same record.
Yeah. And well, I don't want to speak too soon, Freddie. It's going to come down to the wire. I think Arizona's shown that they can play with anybody. They didn't play well last night, but they still play the Rams twice, and Rams still have to play Seattle. This NFC West down to the wire race is going to be interesting going forward. I wouldn't call them pretenders just yet, Fred. You jumped off that bandwagon. I don't like it at all.
Well, no, I'm not on the. I was never on the bandwagon to start with.
You jumped off the ship.
Well, I've never been on the ship.
Yeah, you're on that cruise.
I'm not on that cruise. Rob Parker is on the cruise.
Yes, Rob Parker's on the cruise.
And he'll be cruising.
You jumped off the cruise.
No, I'm not on the cruise.
No, Fred, you jumped into the dinghy. That was you.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not in the dinghy.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Now you're trying to, you know, bring yourself back up into the main ship.
Well, if that's the case, there's something that
there's a rock. There's a rock in the ocean 1,400 miles away, and Fred is jumping in the dinghy.
Mm-hmm.
No, but
that's how you're doing.
There's something in my craw. And I wanna bring it up about the Arizona Cardinals. when they moved from St. Louis, and the Cardinals in Arizona, Bird or something. Why couldn't they have
changed it? What's wrong with a Cardinal?
What's wrong with a Cardinal, Fred?
No, they were the St. Louis Cardinals. They should have changed it to something more Arizona. I said that. As a guy that grew up in Phoenix, you lived in Arizona. Don't call them the Cardinals. You know, the Rattlesnakes, something. I don't know.
You know, what about the Lakers? Did you say that about the Lakers?
You got a hell of a lot of lakes out here, Fred.
Well, look, we got a lot of water out here, so it counts.
The worst one is the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I cannot think of a city I would not associate with Jazz less than Salt Lake City, Utah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
It is bad.
But Cardinals, there are no Cardinals in Arizona?
No, there are Cardinals.
Okay, well, it still works, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It has nothing to do with Arizona.
It'd be different if it was Seahawks and Arizona kept the same name, kept the Seahawks, when there's no C in Arizona, Fred.
How about the Gila Monsters?
No.
Why?
I actually don't mind that.
Thank you.
Although it does seem very XFL-ish.
Yeah, it
or
does.
AAF kind
it
of.
Does.
The Gila Monsters.
Yeah.
What about the Roadrunners?
The Roadrunners is a good one, Ronnie. Go ahead, Ronnie.
And the Roadrunners was what?
Soccer team.
No.
Oh, no?
Not a soccer team. Who were the Roadrunners?
Who are the Roadrunners?
The Roadrunners
were the hockey team.
Were the Western Hockey League team.
Ah. Yeah.
The Phoenix Roadrunners.
Nobody knows that but you, Fred.
Well, because I went to those games. Right, that's when they didn't even have glass around the boards. That's when they had the chicken wire.
Chicken wire.
Right, and
so
that was
the
game.
They had the Jason Voorhees masks?
Yeah, no, that was the game where the guy went into the crowd and beat the hell out of the goal judge, Joel Pollock, from the Portland Buckaroos.
No, they were not called the Buckaroos.
Yeah, they were.
Stop
the Portland Buckaroos.
No.
I'm looking it up right now.
Look them up right now, Fred. Before we break. The Portland Buckaroos and the Seattle
Who names them Buckaroos?
I don't know.
Fonzie?
Sounds fugazi, Fred.
They were the Portland Buckaroos. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's for real. For real. For real.
Yeah, Fred is right.
Right.
Their logo is even like, this guy looks like he's drunk, but he's trying to wrangle a horse. And he's like tossing around a lasso and he has a hockey stick in his other hand.
Right.
Like Fred when he tried to do that one time. And the calf,
the calf took off, right? And I almost got kicked in the head. But that,
so it's a guy on a horse with a lasso?
Yeah.
And that's the Buckaroos?
Yeah.
He's wearing skates and so is the horse, by the way. Also wearing
the horse
also
is wearing skates?
Yeah.
They were tough. They had a horse. They had guys with sticks. No, that's where... And their uniforms were red and black.
Got to be tough to get a horse and skates.
Yeah,
that's hard.
That's when Connie Madigan walked through the crowd and beat up the goal judge.
And why did he beat up the goal judge?
Because he disallowed a goal for Portland. Hmm. So he went into the crowd, walked all the way through. I was there. Opened the gate.
With his skates?
Yeah. And pounded the goal judge. I saw it.
No one tried to stop him?
No, nobody knew what he was doing.
And the judge was behind the chicken wire?
Yeah, the judge was behind the chicken wire. In a cage, and it wasn't locked. So he opened the cage, just beat the hell out of the judge, and walked back to the bench and sat down. That was the Western Hockey League. That's where men played.
Wow.
I saw a game in Phoenix where a guy tried to jump over the top of the chicken wire and get onto the ice. Yeah. And that league had, I think, the Salt Lake City Gulls. It had the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay.
Right?
Vancouver Canucks were on there.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually went to the NHL?
Right.
Same franchise?
Mm-hmm. And I saw Tony Esposito, who went on to be a great goalie with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him play for the Vancouver Canucks in the Western Hockey League.
Wow.
San Diego Gulls?
Any other teams went to the NHL from that?
Well, let's see. Salt Lake doesn't have a team. Phoenix? So Phoenix had an NHL franchise after they got a WHA franchise. Remember the old World Hockey Association? Okay, so they got a WHA franchise.
You remember that, Kevin?
I know of it. Oh.
Okay,
I can't say that I remember it.
And then the NHL came in. No, I don't think any other... Seattle's back now.
The Kraken.
Some thought they would be called the Totems, but they're the Kraken.
The Totems?
Yeah, the Seattle pole? Totems. Yeah.
And it was a totem pole as their...
No, they weren't
look
the
it up.
Totems.
No, now, look it say, up real fast.
Did they have like a totem pole mascot like the Stanford like, tree?
Very common in the Pacific Northwest.
Right, look up Seattle Totems and you'll
the
see.
Totems.
This is like roller derby teams, Fred.
No, these are real. And
I loved roller derby.
They were green and white.
You're right.
And talking about roller derby, if anybody even remembers.
The Thunderbirds.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, but there were two different roller derby leagues. By the way, Kevin, was I right?
You are right.
Okay.
It's a green, it's like a bird. It's like a pseudo totem pole.
Right, and it was green and white. There were two roller derby leagues. There was one here, and then there was one in the Midwest with the Midwest Pioneers, and they were always tough.
Wasn't it Georgia Haas, the coach? Georgia Haas.
Who's that? Of what? The T-Birds?
No, of the Midwest.
Oh, I don't remember.
Hockey club.
And there was the San Francisco Bay Area Bombers.
Bay Area Bombers.
San Francisco Bay Area Bombers.
Yeah.
And the T-Birds. Who was the T-Bird star? Number 747. Who
Wanda Leakes.
No, not Wanda Leakes.
Skinny Minnie Miller?
Skinny Minnie Miller was not the T-Bird star. Big 747 Erling Brown.